my favorite time of year. Woo. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you, my mother, you know, my birthday being the first week of December. And so she always had the Christmas tree up by my birthday, not realizing what torture that was because it had the whole rest of the month to go. But anyway, she loved Christmas, and so did I. And December the 6th and December the 7th, 1941, my birthday was the day before. And I remember thinking, what is this all about? They have ruined my birthday. And I thought, well, this thing's serious. And everybody just went, we went into war mode and stayed there. So, Father, we thank you for the victory of the blood of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for your word and the way this book of covenants work. And we praise you for that and thank you for it today in the name of Jesus. And everybody knows by now that Professor Greg is always involved. And particularly in this, the blood of Jesus ratified all of the covenants, whether anybody knows it or not. His blood is on the heavenly mercy seat it is now. So, his birth was a miracle, as you know. So let's talk about that.
Thank you for letting me be with you today, this week.
Sir?
Thank you for letting me be with you.
Yes, sir.
My favorite time of the year.
Letting you be with me? You mean I had a choice?
Yes, sir.
I could have run you off any time I wanted to.
And right now, even.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Fun time of year. So now, let's open our Bibles. Before we do that, immediately after the Garden of Eden, there was no law against murder.
That's right.
So there had to become law. And you make a law by entering covenant arrangements. And this is still being practiced today in some places in the world. In places where there's no law, and so tribes get together. And they make agreements together. Then they enter some form of blood relationship, and the penalty for breaking it is death. Well, that's the same thing true here.
Right.
But, and you read over in there, this violent son will surely be put to death. But, now wait a minute. Those were written punishments. But very seldom did the death happen because you sacrifice an animal for the man.
Substitute.
There was a substitute. So the way the book works, once the Spirit of God, through a prophet, made a statement, that when that prophet made that statement, there's no way the devil could get it out of here. Mm-hmm. He's powerless against that. So then that continued to happen over all the years. And it just continued to happen and continued to happen. And then
each one reveals a little piece.
Yes.
More.
Yes.
So you can, it's like a puzzle. You have all
yes,
the pieces, but as you start to get it put together and you get the edges put together, then you begin to see what it's going to look like until
then,
it comes to
this
child
being born. Then the
prophet
Micah introduced Bethlehem.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I did. We went from worldwide to one man and his wife, Sarah and Abram, Sarai and Abram. And then we went to a family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. From a family, we went to a nation. A nation, we went to one tribe, Judah. Mm-hmm. Then that tribe's city, Bethlehem. Jerusalem's in Judah as well. But Bethlehem, we focused on that. So each time, it's focusing clear, more clearly, what's happening.
And
pointing to one person.
And the blood began in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
When the original pair did what they did. And I've often thought, what would have happened if Adam had owned up to it instead of blaming his wife and blaming God?
He'd have been forgiven, but there still had to be remission of sin.
There had to be.
Because it'd been done.
It would have been anyway. So it began there. That animal shed its blood to provide clothes for them. So it started right there. And then it continued through the centuries. So now, of course, we're interested in Jesus' birth, because that's what he came to do, was ratify all of the covenants, all of the laws, all of the rules back through the years. He came to destroy the works of the devil.
He's the final payment.
Yes, sir.
He will pay a price. He'll overpay the price that we owed, the debt we owed.
That's right.
And we receive that by faith, his grace of giving that to us. We receive that by faith.
So, in the book of Matthew, the second chapter, well, it begins, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men," or the Magi, "from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him." The Magi, Daniel was a Magi. Dreams and visions and declaring things. Well, we have the three wise men, because there were three gifts, but they were not at the manger at all. He was a young child. He was about 2 years old.
That's correct. They showed up. That's correct.
Now, for the television audience, we're teaching out of Rick Renner's Christmas, the rest of the story. I strongly suggest you get this because you need to read it to your children, and it's just magnificent, and the illustrations in it are so beautiful, and we're teaching out of this. Now, so, and you read down through here, which before we get through, we'll read all of this, but I want to point this out at the very beginning. Verse 21, "He arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." I mean, there's intricate plan in this whole thing. Amen. So, now, let's go now over to the book of Luke. And I want to remind you, we don't ever compromise the Word. We don't compromise it over Christmas. We don't compromise it over anything. And I'm going to make this public. And if it messes up somebody's house, well, it just gets messed up because I got messed up. And I'm, anyway. A poem got in the way. That's where Santa Claus came from. Started out with St. Nicholas. Then that poem. And now there's Santa Claus everywhere. He doesn't even exist. You don't compromise it. And when I was a young boy, we lived in Abilene, Texas there. And there was a family moved in close to us. And she told me that Santa Claus wasn't real. And I said, that's not true. My mother would never lie to me. I went home and then mother had to come clean. So when John and Kelly were old enough to know, we set them down and told them, said, now listen, we're going to still have the fun. But Jesus is the one, I said, forget what's his name. But, because he doesn't exist. And so, Kelly was 9 years old. She was born almost on Gloria's birthday. She was born February the 9th, and Gloria was born February the 12th. Anyway, so Gloria got a birthday present in our firstborn. And... we were walking into Cox's department store, and it was Christmas. And we walked through the door, and this lady said, little girl, what's Santa Claus going to bring you? And Kelly looked up to me and says, you think she doesn't know?
Yeah.
Don't ever lie to your children.
That's right.
And, but have the fun anyway. And so, and I, like I, we told our children, now look, you are not going to find out till Christmas morning. Because we all had Christmas Eve, you know. And but you're not going to find out till Christmas morning, so don't even try to find out. And you're going to be glad.
Amen.
You'll be glad. And 1 year, it was the year that Gloria and I got out of debt. By November, we were out. But, boy, the money was gone. We were there in Tulsa. Well, we told them, both of them, and they were just small. But we told them up front what we're doing here. And so they all agreed with us, both of them agreed with us. And so John got a little can of firecrackers about that big. Kelly got a doll. And we had Chef Boyardee for Christmas dinner. And those of you who don't know what that is, forget it. It all came out of a can.
Yeah.
But we had Christmas.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Christ Mass. It's the celebration of the anointed. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what Messiah in Hebrew.
The anointed one.
The anointed one. Christ, in Greek, the anointed one, it's the same thing. So, and we see here why they went to Nazareth. So that it might be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the book works. It started in the Garden of Eden at the failure of the original pair. An animal shed its blood in order to give them clothes.
And you're going to have another pair come together to bring the second Adam.
Yes.
Who will repair what the first Adam.
That's right.
Failed at. This new covenant, Brother Copeland, answers the first covenant.
Yes, it does.
It reveals everything in that first covenant.
And everything, and everything in that first one.
Is talking about this.
Now, we have to remember that our God started time.
That's right.
Now, we, with a finite mind, with in the beginning God. Now that, that's where we start. But anyway, he started time because he is a master of coordination of the universe in order that everything is decent and in order. And it's on a time schedule. Jesus said so. Only he knows when the end is.
That's right.
But then Jesus went ahead to say, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations as a witness, then the end will come. Now, I remember back in the day when people scoffed at the book of Revelation, when the whole world was watching what was happening in Jerusalem. Well, last night, I was watching what was happening in Jerusalem. The technology's here.
Yes.
Right.
So, folks, we are there.
Yeah.
we are there.
He'll speak more about his second coming than he will his first coming.
Yes.
When you think about that, we know all the prophecies about his first coming. I've got 350 of them listed here, but he'll speak more about his second coming. If he fulfilled everything so accurately, how much more is he going to do that? He's going to continue. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Of course.
He's going to hit it exactly right. One of my favorite disciples of all is Matthew. I like Peter. I love John. But Matthew's one of my favorites because he was so valuable to Jesus. He's a tax collector for the Roman government. He records entire sermons that Luke didn't do because he knew how to write and record statements for tax collecting. So we have the Beatitudes because of him.
Yes.
And so 12 times Matthew will cite Old Testament prophecy or First Covenant prophecy in conjunction with the term fulfilled, which he'll use phrases like that it might be fulfilled, like you just read a moment ago.
Yeah.
And Jesus will accurately hit that so many times. It's written in the Greek. It is written. It's in the perfect tense, meaning it stands written. That's literally what it means in the Greek, that it stands written that he is this. And I'm so grateful for Matthew that he provides this narrative for us, and he's so thorough and he's so meticulous in his writing and what he's doing so that we understand that this seed from this woman in Bethlehem, living in Nazareth, is the promised seed.
That's right. Well, where we see Peter's influence is in the book of Mark.
Yep.
That's the reason the book of Mark is short. But it's got a punch to it. And you can just see Peter sitting there talking to him. And this is where this is. You put that down right now. and have him record all that. But this is an anointed book,
Luke.
And now look in the first chapter of the book of Luke. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. This is a documentary.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly like this.
He questioned people. I've always wondered how many languages Luke spoke. He's a physician, very, very educated man. And how many people did he speak with, and how many languages did he have to come up with? Aramaic, you know. Mm-hmm. Because
probably Greek, Latin.
Well, Greek, Latin, Aramaic, Hebrew.
Easily.
Whew. What a man. So there was in the days of Herod. Now, all of this came. Go ahead, Greg.
No, it's okay. Let's keep reading.
Now, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and the wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. Now, how do you know all that? He interviewed Mary.
Yes.
In Ephesus. In the church there, because she was John's assignment.
That's right.
So all of this is really, really important information that 99% of the Christians don't know. What you can know, if you just think about it a little, because you go over to the book of Acts, and then he continues to write to Theophilus the things that happened after, and he traveled with Paul. I mean, whoa.
I teach the students at KCBC that look at the book of Acts like it's a legal document,
yes,
court argument for Paul's defense to the emperor.
That's right.
And he's laying out the whole case of how this all happened and why I'm standing in front of you.
And you put those two books back to back, and it's just a continuance
of this. It's a continuance
of this
story. That's exactly right.
Because he interviewed people, and he interviewed Mary, and found out this part. And they're both righteous before God,
yes,
walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. I want to point out something here. Well, we'll just introduce this. Now, Zacharias said to Gabriel, "Whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife was well stricken in years." And he said, "I'm Gabriel, and stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. Now you will be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things are performed, because you believe not my words." Here's a problem. We have to shut this man up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to close his mouth. He doesn't know what he doesn't know what he's dealing with here.
Yeah. Well, timeline, his wife's pregnant.
Yes. And this thing has to work right and on time. Got to shut him up. Now, before it was over with, he lost his hearing also. And we'll look at that probably tomorrow. And we're out of time. Hallelujah.
It's going to be a good week.
What?
Amen.
What? 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 Yeah. Woo. Yes.
I wonder what Jesus' birth was really like. Why did God choose Mary and Joseph to be his parents? Were they really poor, like I was always taught?
Dive deep into the account of the Nativity with Rick Renner's book, Christmas, The Rest of the Story, and find out there is more to Jesus' birth than you ever knew. Using his knowledge of the Greek language, along with historical and archaeological records, Rick Renner will take you on an exciting journey through the Christmas scriptures. Find out details like who the Magi really were and why the angels were so astonished at the Word made flesh. This beautifully illustrated and well-researched book will bring the Christmas story to life for you and your family. The discussion questions at the end of each chapter will help your family create a Christmas tradition of learning together. Ultimately, Christmas, the rest of the story, will point you to the purpose of the Nativity, the death and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This Christmas season, let the story of Jesus' birth open your eyes to God's amazing plan. Order Rick Renner's new book, Christmas, the Rest of the Story, for £30 on our website, kcm.org.uk/TV special, or call 01225-787-310. This offer is good for 30 days. Outside the UK, call for postage. Contact your regional office today. In 2024, there's a KCM event for you. Come be a part of one of our free meetings and build your faith. December 31, join us for the New Year's Eve service at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas. April 4 through 6, make plans to be at the Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri. July 29 through August 3, come to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
So glad you could be with us today. This is going to be one of the best Christmas you ever had. And to get into these things and study them, I mean study these books, and instead of just taking Christmas for granted, you know, there were three wise men. No.
Thousands of them.
What? There wasn't three wise men? Well, there were at least three. More like 500 of them. They got the whole caravan. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, and all the class wishing you a glorious, hallelujah Christmas.
Yeah.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this, God loves you. That's the reason He sent Jesus in the first place. He so loved the world. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
The 2024 Kenneth Copeland Ministries calendar is here. This is our New Year's gift to you, available on kcm.org.uk or call 01225-787-310. Get your 2024 KCM calendar today while supplies last.